Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 8 of season 5. This one is called Unification Part 2. It was directed by Cliff Bohl. Teleplay goes to Michael Piller, and it aired back on November 11th, 1991. This is the conclusion to the Unification Part 1 storyline, where Spock is defected to the Romulan Empire, and Picard and Data head over that way to figure out what's going on. We'll figure it out. Clay's here to figure it out. And right after this, we're all going to figure it out together. Unification Part 2.
I know of your mind meld with my father, which enabled him to complete his last mission.
It was an honor. He's a great man.
He was a great representative of the Vulcan people and of the Federation.
I was with him before coming here. He expressed his pride in you. His love.
Emotional disarray was a symptom of the illness from which he suffered.
No. Those feelings came from his heart. He shared them with me. I know.
All right, Clay. Unification Part 2. Now we can let the audience know exactly what we thought about all of these episodes. It's tough to do a two-parter podcast on the same day. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yes.
It's tough to parse out what you think of the differences are. It's just because so much of the second depends on this first, so much of your overall feedback depends on the second part. But we're going to talk about Unification Part 2. We just talked about Unification Part 1. Neither of us particularly liked Part 1. We both gave it a 2 out of 5. Here comes Unification Part 1 or 2. So the easy question leading off, is this a better or worse episode than Part 1?
Oh my God! They totally redeemed themselves. This might be my favorite episode of the season. It's more of the same. There's the high point of Worf making a request at a piano bar.
Yes.
Which again is a great scene, but has nothing to do with anything.
I think it's the first time we've heard Klingon opera.
Yeah. And also, why does he know that? I'm very confused about what he does and does not know about Klingon culture.
Well, I mean, there's that. Does Klingon opera sound anything like you'd expect Klingon opera to sound? I think it sounds okay. Yeah. It's just repetitively clanging a chord on a keyboard and sort of groaning over it.
That makes sense. That sounds about right.
It makes sense. Let's start with those bar scenes. I fucking hate the bar scenes in this episode. I don't think they individually stand on their own. They make me groan and cringe at the worst, and they're just so pointless.
Yeah. They seem like cut scenes in video games.
Yeah, they do.
Where it's like you've made it to the bar. And you found out who you need to get information from. And so they do the cutscene of you going over and roughing the guy up to find out where he's, you know, it seems like that.
Yep. Riker awkwardly flirting with the piano person who we've come to. It took us about 5 minutes of time on the podcast of the first part of the episode. This piano, I guess this is the pianist is the wife of the guy who was captaining the ship that Riker blew up in Part 1.
Yeah, I think that he may have actually blown that ship up in Part 2, because I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, together. But either way.
My comment on it I have in my notes for Part 2, so, but whatever.
Oh, I say. But that's the relationship here, and so Star Trek for some reason walks into what it really just feels. I don't think it's possible to do a space bar scene without feeling like you're ripping off Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get that. Riker saunters in and deals with his stuff. He flirts with her a little bit, gets a little bit of information. Worf goes in, gets a little bit of information. Riker goes back down to the bar. I don't understand why they're flip-flopping between being there and not being there. And then they rough up a fat Ferengi in a scene that I didn't understand why, if you were going to do this, they didn't do the thing where
The Ferengi insults them, right? And Riker mm-hmm. gives like a little head nod to Worf, who then assaults the Ferengi. As right. Riker's going like, don't make my friend upset. You've made my friend upset. You know,
right,
why don't
right.
you get that scene out of this bar thing?
I don't know, because Jonathan Frakes needs to grab somebody by the neck.
His tight shirt as he's throttling that the fat Ferengi.
Make sure they have the light on his biceps at the right angle.
Not good. Anyway, we had a big problem with episode one that it felt like it was a misuse of Spock's character. I feel they tried to kind of fix that in this one. They don't succeed, but we get the only... They kind of approach it with the whole thing where Picard says no more of this cowboy diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
which is so clearly a callback to, you know, the original series and Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only sort of moment I feel where they really... The show is making commentary on how things have changed.
Yeah.
Well,
I think this episode is... I think the best part about it is the scene with Spock and Data.
Yep.
And I don't know why it took them so long to... Well, I don't know. Maybe because they were waiting on us. But it seems like such a obvious place to go.
Yeah.
And I think they did a pretty good job with it.
They did a pretty good job. You'd think that they would focus the episode more around it because what they're talking about doesn't really have anything to do with what's going on. It's more of just a commentary on the characters.
Yeah, again, it's a good character beat, but it has nothing to do with the story.
Right, and I think it's a well-written scene. You know, they're comparing what their sort of problems are, how each one wants to be what the other one is trying to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just comes down to, you know, Spock says he has no regrets and Data mentions how that's a human phrase after Spock has been claiming that he's been trying to get away from his humanity. It's just like a nice little, you know, sort of touching farewell scene for the Spock character because
mm-hmm.
He's not going to be seen for 19 years until the J.J. Abrams movie reboots itself.
Oof.
So,
interesting question.
I
was thinking about this as I was watching it. Do the events of this episode play in directly into that movie? Because that the whole genesis of the story in that movie is, what's his name? Nero?
Yeah, Nero.
Yeah. Being mad at Spock for fucking up Romulus for some reason.
Yes, and then he goes, I can't remember the original Star Trek, the JJ, the original one, all that mm-hmm. well. But yeah, I guess Spock somehow causes Romulus to blow up, and then Nero is going to go blow up Vulcan, and he does blow up Vulcan.
Yeah, so it's actions... Actions taken, well, from Nero's point of view, it's actions taken by Spock in the TNG normal timeline.
Yep.
And he follows Spock back in time.
Right.
Their actions in the past causes a skewed timeline.
Yes. Very sort of convoluted. What do you think about the Prime universes splitting away from what the Abrams movies did, I guess, to split universes?
I think it was the smartest thing they could have done. I think I thought it was a really good way to change everything, but not change anything.
Yeah, I think it's a smart way to go about doing that, where you can explain having separate sort of storylines going on that don't make sense when you combine them.
Right.
But at the same time, it kind of makes everything you do in a universe inconsequential. Because there's like infinite other versions of things going on. So every decision that you make, there's another universe where that decision is not made.
Right. But I mean, you're only following the storyline of one universe. So.
Yes. Yeah. It's just.
You know, I mean, and by that logic, then yesterday's Enterprise doesn't mean anything because there's infinite numbers of universes where that could change.
Well, but they tied it only back into the TNG universe. Like everything that
happened. Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Everything that happens there is impacting its own universe. It's just tough. I mean, it doesn't have
not,
any...
I mean, in the reboot is not changing universes. They're just... It's changing timelines.
Right. Is there a difference?
I don't know. Call up Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's an infinite number of ways things could go, but it is also, you know, you're following a certain story. You have a certain point of view, and that's the timeline you're following. So I think it worked pretty well.
Yep.
And it allows you to not be a slave to stuff that's already happened. I think where they ran into a big problem is the second movie that they did, where apparently you can just call up Prime Universe Spock and ask him who certain characters are.
Yes.
And he tell like what the I'm,
right. Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into that, but that was fucking stupid.
Did they not talk to Spock in the first one? I thought they saw him somehow.
They do, but it's he goes out of his way not to really fuck with things.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then in the second one, they literally call him on the phone and say, "Hey, did you ever run into a guy named Khan?" And he's like, "Yeah, Khan's a real bad dude."
Yep.
He's like the worst guy.
Right.
Which he tells them off screen, so you don't even get the benefit of we can cover this in depth when we cover Star Trek Into Darkness.
All right. Well, let's get back to unification. I just wanted to touch on the multiverse there that they were going. But we talked about in part one how Spock's character is underutilized here. He's trying to attain reunification with this Ambassador Pardek or whatever, Senator Pardek on the planet Romulus.
Mm-hmm.
Is the plan just to sort of have one-on-one meet and greets with people? Like, is that all that this is? That's all they do in this episode. They meet with that other guy who has sinister motives, and he introduces Sela. And then out of nowhere, Pardek has been friends with Spock for 80 years, and he just betrays him out of the blue? Is that what happens?
Can't trust a Romulan, man.
Yeah, I guess.
A bunch of bastards.
It's a long game with them. They do the 80-year friendship and then just stab you in the back in a very unsuccessful way.
They kind of go out of their way to be like, listen, not all Romulans are bad. And then the Romulan turns out to be bad.
It's that scene from Crash where Ludacris hijacks the car.
The entire movie of Crash.
I hate Crash. Anyway,
it's the worst movie.
Unification 2 is... I said that the first one was boring. I feel that this second part is worse than the first part, only because there are so many scenes of people here walking and talking about shit that I do not care about.
Yeah, it's really fucking boring. And so the thing that really stood out to me is that, you know, excuse me, much like we talked about in Redemption, where you've got a storyline, which is a pretty big deal. You've got... Worf trying to get his family's name back and this whole Klingon Civil War thing. Big deal. Deserves 2 episodes. Deserves probably 3 episodes.
Yep. Has repercussions on the Federation. You know, so there's sort of reasons for the Federation to care about these things.
There's literally a civil war that breaks out and that you see parts of. In this thing, the story is they're trying to reunite Vulcan and Romulus, who have hated each other forever. 2 entirely different planets, not even like whatever Kronos is.
Right.
It's not like just, you know, regions of people. It's 2 entirely different planets that seem to be quite a good distance away.
Yep.
And all it takes is like talking to the High Council guy and then putting out a voicemail saying that everything's fine.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck?
Well,
like, Sela's whole plan is... All right, I'm going to put out a video where you say that Romulus and Vulcan are back together, and that's pretty much it.
That'll work.
Everyone will buy that. done and done.
Well, she also...
Control-S.
Sela, continuing window. The redemption, Sela does not seem to be one for coming up with good plans. I think that's becoming
which
a character.
Which is a shame, because she apparently loves to write, which she doesn't get to do enough in the job that she has.
That scene was terrible. Denise Crosby embarrassed herself in front of Leonard Nimoy and Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart had a look on his face like he could not believe that this was happening. She's just the wrong... It ties into what we were saying. The Romulans don't have a strong enough personality as a species.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that ending scene could have... If you had the right actor or actress to play that off, the way Crosby plays the Romulans is not right, and it doesn't stick against them. She basically just has a kind of hissy fit. She's like, I hate Vulcans. I hate them. I hate your logic and your superiority. It just doesn't work. Like... You need the Romulans to be a little bit more of a, almost like a Betazoid thing, where they come at the Vulcans being like, if you don't have passion, what do you have? Kind of like, how do you go through life not feeling passionate about things? They don't have that argument with them. Crosby on her own. I mean, would you, do you think this episode needed Sela to come back?
Well, I think you're totally right about what you're saying about the way that she plays it. But, and that is the argument that they should have had. But I don't know if that's her fault. I mean, I think it's the writing's fault. I don't think that it's Denise Crosby's fault.
I'd agree with that.
You know, you could have Laurence Olivier in there or, you know, Vanessa Redgrave in there talking about how she hates the Vulcan's stupid faces. And it wouldn't have made it any better. Sela, yeah, I mean, honestly, yes, only because, well, I don't know if she's necessary, but I think it works because she's really the only Romulan that has a face.
Yeah, she is.
And this is completely separate, but, and this might, this is not entirely because of my love of Tasha, but I think they should have put her, like, made her a regular. I think that if you put that character on the Enterprise for some reason, I think that would have been really interesting. Because that you need that the distrusting nature to be among that group, you know?
Yeah, yeah, mix it up a little. I mean, they're kind of doing it with Ro Laren, who I don't know if she's been in any episodes that you've done so far. Probably not. But she's playing that sort of headstrong character who's now a part of the cast. So Sela adding to that might have been a little bit of overkill. It's just this is Sela's last appearance. We're never going to see this character again.
And I mean, obviously, they probably made the right choice not adding her to the show. But it's just like she adds an interesting – she's an interesting character given her background and her dynamic. And it would be interesting to put her into that atmosphere. It would kind of be like that episode where you meet Tasha's sister.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would be way more interesting because, you know
– It's the actual – Yeah.
Yeah, and there would actually be a character there instead of just being like, oh, it's Tasha's hot sister that wears
a one piece
gym clothes all the time.
Oh yeah. Oh, good her. Good for
but
her.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's tough. As you were saying, like that you expect the scale to build up here, especially considering how low stakes the first part of this one was.
Yep.
They just have those scenes in that office room, and it's like, and they get out by just walking out the door at the end. Like it's so, everything is so low stakes. I was also laughing at the fact that you mentioned that the Romulan plot here seems to be, we'll send a couple ships over, we'll send a message out that says everything's okay, everything's cool, and apparently the Federation won't care. They're also somehow going to take over a founding Federation planet with 2,000 troops.
Yep. That's how you do it.
I don't.
Boots on the ground, man. That's what gets it done.
I didn't understand any of that. None of that makes any. They actually bring it up in the script. Picard's like, "Do you think this will work?" And she says, "Once we get some boots on the ground, everything will be okay."
That would be great. If they you know, like afterwards in the wrap up, Picard was like, "Yeah, no, that was a really dumb plan. This was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be to defeat."
Or, you know, there's a plot problem here, I think, because everything that happens on the Enterprise with Riker, right, is really just Riker's just suspicious for no particular reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he should have had that scene at the end, been like, "Captain, that plan was so stupid, I almost didn't believe it was possibly happening."
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, because nothing drives his actions on the Enterprise outside of the fact that he's like, "I don't know about this. We better go check on it." Like, they even get voicemails from Picard, or they get something from Picard saying everything's cool. Like, just be cool.
Right.
And they still don't believe it.
Do you, did you ever watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah, not regularly, but I know it, yeah.
Did you happen to see the episode with, what are they called? The green and orange spiky aliens?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forget their names.
Where they build their own version of Master Shake?
Yep.
To try and get him to help them de-terraform the Earth.
Yep.
Like that was the kind of plan that was here. It's like, well, all we have to do is get them to believe that this is really Spock and everything will be cool, man.
Yep.
You know, it'll just all fall into place.
No one
it'll
will
be,
ask.
It'll be so cool when I figure out what this plan is.
No one will ask holographic Spock a question. He'll just send out the same message over and over again.
It's a perfect duplicate in every way, as long as nobody asks you any questions.
I like that. I mean, it ties into probably my favorite moment of this episode, and it's so bizarre. I don't know why they included it. Was where Data programs the Riker duplicate but fucks up his hair.
Yeah.
And Picard brings it up. And I was watching it before he brought it up. It's like, why is this hair all fucked up? And then Picard's like, Mr. Data, you just didn't get his hair right. It was such a... It was the perfect... In a way, it sums up why this episode is so silly. Because that moment is so silly. And then they just walk out of there. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Just really... Just a very odd thing. I mean, the whole plan doesn't make sense. This invasion of what's going to happen to Vulcan, which... I mean... It's a founding Federation world. Like, this is like, This is not just some like colony that they don't particularly care about. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then
it kind of calls back to something we talked about in the first season, which is if you have an episode that ends with Picard punching somebody, it's probably not a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Patrick Stewart was always clamoring for more action, but it does not suit the character.
No.
Spock's at least makes sense. You know, the Vulcan nerve pinch. It's just like, you know, it's nonviolent. You just kind of take people out.
Mm-hmm.
Picard appearing and just laying the haymaker on that Romulan doesn't really work for me.
I was kind of hoping he was going to do the nerve pinch too.
Yeah.
Because that would have, you know, because he's got the mind link with Sarek. And I mean, I like that Data did it, but, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's all three of them should have done it. You know, they've reached a common ground together with each other.
That actually would have been pretty great.
The one thing that I am going to mention, you watched the updated ones on Netflix, I'm assuming. I watched the Blu-rays.
I watched Amazon.
Oh, you watched Amazon. I think those are the updated ones anyway. But they fixed a really hilarious blooper in that scene where they all walk out after they nerve pinch everybody. In the original... you can see it on YouTube. In the original sort of standard definition, when they're standing there, there's like a big green crystal in the middle of the room.
Uh-huh.
You can clearly see a boom operator chewing gum in the reflection as he's just standing there. And it's really hilarious once you notice it. You can find it on YouTube. But they got rid of that in the Blu-ray. I would have kept it for posterity's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I don't know. We talked about Riker and his stupid bar scenes. So did you like the bar scenes? You seemed a little bit more positive than I was about them.
I mean, I like the Worf part.
The Worf one.
I was very disturbed by that woman's makeup.
Yes.
I have a thing about, like unnecessary cavities.
Right.
Where it's really kind of creepy. And that thing on her face, like, remember that? That guy's got the hole in his face. Ugh.
With the like spirally slinky like tied around his head.
Yeah, I actually thought maybe they were supposed to be the same race because she had something similar come out of her face.
Yep.
But
no.
That scene. I mean, like who? What? Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't add anything to it.
And you know, even at the end when Riker gets in the dude's face, he doesn't tip the table over. He
pours the food on him.
sort of gently tips over the guy's plate.
He doesn't. They don't play that. Like if I was writing that, it'd be like he slaps the tray or drinks out of the table, like just knocks him away. You know, instead of pouring it on the guy and then just roughing him up slightly.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he was just gonna fucking shoot him.
Yes. Yeah.
Or you know, like there's. I know it's not within the protocol of a Starfleet officer, but you've got a phaser, and he knows how the settings work because we've seen him go from 0 to 100.
Yep.
I was kind of hoping he was just gonna like pull it out of his phaser, set on like 5, and just blast
him. Slowly torture him. I was surprised they just didn't have Worf rough him up. I said that before, but it's like
that would have been that makes way too much sense. That's definitely what they should have done.
It's just weird. So. Let's finish this conversation, I guess, with a discussion of Spock's role in this second episode here. I like the Picard and Spock conversations for the most part. I really like the ones where they bring up comparisons to Kirk and everything like that. It's really, it's a way the narrative makes sense and it really highlights the differences between the two sort of ethos of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Next Gen is much more talky. Original series is much more guns blazing.
Right.
I love the way Nimoy plays Spock. We mentioned that in the first part. I think he plays the character so well.
Mm.
He just feels right. And I love the Data and Spock conversation in this episode. It's probably the best part of the episode. I agree with that. Overall, it feels like this should have amounted to a whole lot. It does not. And the mind meld at the end is sort of a grasping attempt for it to be significant.
Yeah, that last scene was really, like, they didn't even, like, hold for a second before he's like, oh, yeah, no, sure, I'll do that. And he just punches him in the face.
Yeah. He jumps to it quickly, and then the credits roll immediately as soon as he does it. You don't even get to see, really, the fallout or anything from it.
It was just so weird. The lead into that was so weird. He's like, hey, do you want to mind meld? And there wasn't even a moment where he pauses.
Right. Do you want to know what your father really thought about you? You think you'd have like a moment of consideration, especially, you know, Spock's whole thing this whole time is that he's been different than Sarek. You know, and he doesn't want to argue with Picard because Picard is just taking the arguments of his father and like throwing them back in his face. It was just a... just a strange thing. What did you think of Spock in part two here?
Well, just as a tag about the ending there, it almost would have been more... I think they could have gotten something out of it if they had had him make the motion to go do it and then stop and decide that he didn't want to.
Sure.
Like something like that where he, you know, say something about, I'll remember him, blah, 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 or, you know,
yep.
whatever.
Yep.
Or, you know, I don't need to because I can see him in you or some bullshit like that.
Or even just tie it into the Romulan. So, like, we need to move forward. There's no reason to look to the past. Like, we have to, you know, changes with Romulus and Vulcan are going to, like, move forward. I need to move forward as well.
Yeah, like something that. Like that. Or, you know, make the motion and then flip his hand over and give him the bird and then walk away.
Yeah, just do the Vulcan, you know, the finger thing.
Yeah. Go to put his hand in his face and then just nerve pinch him.
Mr. Data, take him back.
And he just looks at Data and says, clean that up. No, I thought Spock was just completely wasted. I'm trying to think back on this episode, and all I'm seeing in my head is them sitting in that room, that like drab pink colored room.
Yeah, eggshell white. It's just such an
whatever
office.
It is.
Yeah,
it's that, you know, it's one of those colors.
Yeah.
It, you know, just talking about shit that I do not care about.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm watching this going, like, man, I was actually having a lot of things go through my head because I was like, wow, they're really misusing Spock. But also I was thinking, this is exactly the kind of episode I used to hate when it was on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But also thinking, wow, this is so boring. but also thinking, is this boring because it's boring or is it boring because I'm not paying attention to it? Am I not paying attention to it because it's boring?
It's the kind of episode I barely ever rewatch, and it's probably because when I was younger, I was probably watching and going, this is really boring. I wonder if I'm just not getting it.
Yeah.
And it turns out there's nothing really to get. It is just a really boring episode. I mean, to tie into your Spock thing, I don't. Maybe it's fan service-y, but how do you not have Spock on the bridge for some kind of scene?
Like, how do they not bring him onto the ship?
It just doesn't work. He needs to do his like science officer role for one last time.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because in my head, for some reason, I had a picture in my head of him on the ship. So when they got to that last scene, I was like, oh, yeah, he must be going up to the ship for something. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to stay here in this cave.
Yep. Right. Which is a kind of TNG keeps giving us these tragic endings to characters. Like, I don't want to see Spock stuck on Romulus for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Tasha Yar raped and then executed on her thing. Oof. Like, it's all these resolutions are just unnecessary. But I agree, it's just such a waste of the character.
And it's, I don't know, it's a story too that doesn't really have any weight to it. I mean, it's in theory it does, but it's like, I don't. If you're going to tell a final Spock story, why do you tell this one?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not like the reunification of, unless I'm wrong, it's not like the reunification of Vulcan and Romulus is like a running thing.
No, no, not really. I mean, they bring it up, but it's certainly not to the level of like the Klingon storyline that they've been doing. It's just not as important.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish they had gone further with the idea that maybe he defected.
Yep.
That would have been an interesting story.
Or, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but it's also like, couldn't you play up the angle of the Federation is concerned about losing Vulcan? You know what I mean? Like, if it's maybe that's too close to the redemption storyline, but you need to play up some reason why the Federation would be concerned about this, because they don't seem concerned at all, and they shouldn't be because the plot to take over is so stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, you need some kind of stakes about the Federation doesn't trust what the Romulans are up to, and Spock does.
Or, you know, I was just thinking now, like, if you, because they've done this kind of thing in the past with him where he kind of comes off as though maybe his intentions are not entirely pure, but then obviously he kind of, you know, there's a twist at the end.
Yep.
And I think that kind of thing would have been a lot more fun and a better service to the character. So, like, if they had, or, and first give him more power, too.
Yes.
Because, you know, I don't know what the fucking ambassador does from Vulcan. Clearly nothing, because he's spending his whole time in a fucking cave.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, have him, give him some sort of pull with the planet so decisions that he makes actually matter.
Right.
And we know that they matter. And have him go to Romulus and have them think that he's defecting and make sure we know why that's a big deal. And then, I don't know, have something where maybe start the conversation that the Romulan overtaking a Vulcan is the only logical conclusion to X, Y, and Z.
Right, yeah.
And have, you know, have, so you start to believe that, oh, maybe he's, this is not a passionate decision he's making. It's a logical one. And then, of course, there's a twist and you know.
And it all resolves.
Sela gets to write her book.
Yeah, right. I totally agree. It's just, it's not the way you want to see certain characters go out. I mean, Generations, the movie, is going to do this to, like, a supreme degree as well. It's just the show does not seem to be able to understand what kind of narrative is fitting a character to leave.
Yeah.
It needs to be bigger than this. It needs to be more, it either needs to be more epic or it needs to be more personal.
Yeah,
I accept both of those, and neither of those come close here.
This was like watching an episode. This was like watching C-SPAN, basically.
I mean, did it have to be Spock? You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing
in this story
that makes this have to be Spock.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, unless I'm forgetting because I kind of zoned out or something. He doesn't even have any. Well, I guess he has one. He has one thing with Picard where he's talking about needing to do it himself and not put anybody else in danger. But, like, it's not like he's trying to redeem himself for anything. It's not like he's got, not like this mission is somehow unfinished business he had. You know, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, speaking of that speech, is he alluding to something that happened or something that, like, is he alluding to the fact that, obviously, this isn't how it plays out with Generations, but is he alluding to the fact that he may have gotten Captain Kirk killed?
No. Interesting you picked up on that, though. Remember how in the first part of this I was talking about how it was a promotion for the Undiscovered Country?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about what happens in the Undiscovered Country.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So that's a layer. I mean, that's the we talked about in the first one, whether or not it was, like, good that the thing was a promotion. That's a kind of nice tie-in to make it a promotion. You know, it makes the universe seem deeper.
Yeah.
But no, that's what he's talking about.
Well, that's also... Star Trek VI also has Michael Dorn as Worf's great-grandfather or something, right?
Yeah, he's also called Worf. I think there's another is another Worf. It has Christopher Lee is in Undiscovered Country, I think.
Christopher Plummer.
Plummer, that's it. Sorry, yeah.
Actually, it's a shame Christopher Lee was never in a Star Trek movie or show, because he would have been awesome. He would have been a great villain for Star Trek.
I watched, we'll wrap this up. I watched The Motion Picture. Have you seen The Motion Picture recently?
I tried, man.
Oh my God. That movie is so boring.
It was, I think, maybe right around the time that we started doing this podcast, a bunch of them were on Netflix, and I was like, you know, I've never watched the first one all the way through. I got to go back and do it. And I didn't make it. I made it like maybe three quarters of the way through.
I've never watched it all the way through without getting up and being like, I'm going to go, like, iron my clothes for tomorrow. Yeah. Like, I've never been able to stay with it. It's a 2 hour and 15 movie that has an hour and 15 worth of content in it.
Oof.
It's just so, there are so many, and it's too bad because the effects of Vigor when the ship is, like, flying around inside it are awesome, but there's like 45 minutes of it. It's just so absurd. Anyway, I bring that up. I've been mulling over. I mentioned I'm not a huge fan of the original series. I was wondering if I had it in me to do the, I would do like the top or the 10 most iconic original series and then do the movies, but now mm-hmm. I'm starting to reconsider because it's based on the motion picture.
Well, you know, it's I also around the same time, I had never watched the original series all the way through, and I kind of cherry picked some episodes off of like some lists or whatever.
Yep.
And even there, that was it was tough for me to get into.
Yeah.
I think it's I'm past the point where that would really click with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've got a couple that are legitimately good. Like
Balance of Terror is good.
Yes, Balance of Terror is one of the best hours of television I've ever seen.
City on the Edge of Tomorrow or
that's
Forever.
That's the big one, yeah. And, you know, they do some good stuff, but, like, you know.
It's old.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, the original series is Star Trek The Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
Like that. Yep. That's like even at that show I was at. Anytime they showed, they were playing the theme from that, and they had some clips from the movie. That movie is so damn good.
Yep.
So
yep.
good. And you know, I went back and I watched Space Seed because I realized I had never watched it. Not a great episode.
No, it's not a great episode.
Khan's not really a great character in that show.
Yeah.
But
he looks totally. Has a great fight scene in it. But it's tough. The original series is a little bit too old almost at this point for me. But
I think for the movies, though, if you wanted to do them, it might be interesting to pick a couple and kind of maybe compare them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like...
But the sort of fun is, like, it's cliche, but it's true that the odd ones are not good and the even ones are pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's well, it's interesting to flip-flop between them.
Right. It would be interesting to see... Well, you know, I don't know. It might be worth doing because they're so different. Because I was going to say it would be interesting to do, like, you could compare the first one to Next Generation because, that sort of was supposed to be the jumping off point for a new Star Trek series.
Right, yep.
So that might be an interesting way to go with that. But, you know, there's, like, Star Trek V where so why does 4 work where it probably shouldn't, but 5 is just garbage?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. This 5 is Cyborg, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, where they all, a bunch of people trying to find God. They literally go to find God or whatever.
And 5 was Shatner complained until he got director's chair for that one. That was his debut director movie, and that movie is utter garbage. Just too bad. But it's not to go too deep, but you have to do 2, 3, and 4 because they're a trilogy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they just all tie into each other. That's weird. I'll think about it, see what I wanted to do. But anyway.
Just do it.
I got the new Blu-rays, the 50th anniversary Blu-rays. And,
Of the movies?
Yes, of the original series.
Sweet.
And
awesome.
To show you the tender, loving care that Paramount or whoever makes these things cares about. On the Next Generation 50th anniversary DVDs, they confuse the blurbs about which movie is which movie on the back of the DVD. So Nemesis is about Picard going to a planet where there is youthful fountain of youth or whatever, and he considers leaving Starfleet to defend it. And Insurrection is about meeting his clone. So that's interesting.
Honestly, that's a totally honest mistake. I've probably made that mistake trying to talk about them with people that would not know any better.
It's a disaster. Anyway, let's.
It should just say. It should have the entire breakdown for First Contact, and then it should say Star Trek Insurrection, the really boring one, and then Star Trek Nemesis, the one with Tom Hardy and a dune buggy.
Star Trek Nemesis, the one that makes everybody angry. It doesn't really make me angry, but we're going to get to those movies in due time anyway.
Yeah, I watched it not too long ago. It wasn't as bad as I remember it being.
No, I think Nemesis gets undue hate. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I'm looking forward to talking about it. But anyway, let's wrap up Unification 2. I'm going to take a break. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back, give our final thoughts to this one and Unification as a whole.
Boom. Like the first Vulcans, these people are struggling toward a new enlightenment. And it may take decades or even centuries for them to reach it, but they will reach it. And I must help.
I have learned that it is useless to argue with you once your mind is set.
Not at all, Captain. I have found our arguments quite useful. Almost as useful as those I had with my father.
Would it surprise you to learn that he found them equally valuable?
Ironically, You may know Sarek better than his own son does. My father and I never chose to meld.
I offer you the chance to touch what he shared with me.
Unification Part 2. All right, that's it for the unification storyline. Kind of
unity.
Unity! Kind of a forgettable storyline. I gave the first one a 2. I'm going to balance this one out, and I'm going to give it a 1. I do think this one is worse. This one,
ouch.
This is a bad episode, and I don't want to overstate their goodness. So I'm going to put this one as a 1, just so when I do my year-end wrap-up, I'll remember that this was not very good. I do think this one is worse overall than the first part. And even though it's not unbearable garbage, I think it deserves a 1, so I'm going to give it to it. Clay, what do you think?
Wow. That's rough. I can't give it a 1 because I've seen 1s.
Yep.
And I don't know, you might be blinded by quantity at this point and might not remember what a 1 actually is for this show.
I remember 1s. Although the show's evolved, like at that point I'm probably not going to see 1s anymore. Like there's nothing that's so horribly made that it's just like this is just what is happening here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean go ahead. Do you think, is this like the one of the, I think this is one of the worst episodes I've seen in at least a couple months.
Yeah, it's tough because I mean, I feel like its biggest problem is that it's completely uninteresting.
Right.
You know, at least some of the other ones, you know, like the one with any one of those weird Geordi ones or whatever. Those are at least, you know, outrageous.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And have things to really talk about and kind of are interesting to watch, even if it's like watching a train wreck.
They tried.
Yeah. This is just, man, it's just so boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's so flat. And, you know, I don't know. I give it a very middling 2.
Sure.
You know?
Middling 2.
Maybe that's not the right phrase, but you know what I mean. It's like if I saw this lying still on the ground, I would probably kick it with my foot.
Yeah.
But then I would probably just walk away.
Yeah, it wouldn't really respond to anything you did to it. I can't sort of disagree. I'm really just going to mark it down. I don't think it's a particularly good episode. It's an egregious waste of Spock and not a great use of season 5, unfortunately.
So is Kirk the only original cast member who did not go on Next Generation?
I mean, Sulu, Chekhov, whenever on Uhura.
Oh, they weren't. Oh, no. For some reason, I thought Chekhov was. Maybe I'm just thinking of Babylon 5.
It's just Scotty, Bones, and Spock, I think.
That's interesting. I was trying to think about when I was watching this, it occurred to me, I was like, wow, I'm surprised that they got Nimoy to do this. And at first I thought, why don't you get Kirk? But then I was like, it doesn't make any sense because Spock is the only character that could conceivably be still alive.
Yes, right. Because Kirk would be dead. Kirk has to be dead at this point. Well,
or at least, you know, he's going to be like 100.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like Bones was.
Right, Bones, yeah.
And also, I feel like they had to have known eventually there's going to be a crossover thing. And you got to save Kirk for the movie.
Yes, yep.
You know, it occurred to me last night at the music show. I guess it's because the timeline never really lined up for these shows, but I'm kind of surprised that they never tried to do a, you know, Doctor Who style five captains show or episode or something. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by five captains?
Like where you've got Picard, Kirk, Janeway, Sisko, and Scott Bakula.
Oh, sure. All
in one story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they always make appearances in the movies as just throwaway cameos. Like Janeway's a nemesis, you mm-hmm. know, and it's just like, oh, hey, that's nice. That feels very almost more. It's hard. It's like such a big idea. You'd have to come up with like an amazing way for them all to be in the same place at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like depending on how much you really wanted to make it have weight, theoretically, you could do a holodeck episode.
Yeah, which is what Enterprise is anyway.
Oh my god. Oh, I was talking about that last night. That is the I never watched Enterprise, but I have watched the finale, which is the biggest middle finger to that show I could possibly think of.
Take that, fans. I like your idea about that. Like, if you've done a Next Generation one where Picard goes in and asks for advice or something from previous holodeck versions of the captains or things like that, it would be an interesting way to go about it. Or even,
they got kind of close when they did that Deep Space Nine episode where they go back to the original series, which is a really good episode.
Yep.
So I just don't know. I don't know exactly the spacey-wacy explanation to get it to happen.
Yeah.
I guess you could still do it now because Patrick Stewart looks like he hasn't aged a day in 35 years.
So. Yeah. do they do the Picard in the next J.J. Abrams where they call Picard and he's like, hey, do you remember that time, that time I went to Romulus? Don't go to Romulus. It's bad times.
Oh, man.
Anyway, that's Unification Part 2. Not a great episode arc overall. It's unfortunate, but Season 5 has some really good stuff coming up, and it's had good stuff in the past, so a slight bump in the road. Anyway, Clay, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
And guys, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the content and you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating and review helps get the show out there. I'll be back after this with another episode. I think it's a matter of time or something comes up after this. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. I'll see you later.